Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Welcome back to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Tim with Ed, and thank you for listening. If you want to join us on the internet to watch the show, go to Facebook or YouTube and type in Today's Issues. And we also post the stories that we discuss on our Facebook page. By the way, last night, Brent, our producer, posted a couple of stories that you will be very interested in regarding the election and the anomalies, is that what you call them? And the strange numbers that were a part of the presidential election that need some, as Ricky Ricardo would say, splaining. And so check them out. These aren't nut job stories or wild conspiracy stories. These are very informative, and they're very, the stories are very documented, I guess you could say, legitimate numbers and questions. And so go there and to our Facebook page, and I post. Are they still there, Brent?
Yes.
Okay. What's the title of them? Okay. Interesting, because I don't do Facebook.
I gotta say,
I don't do Facebook, so anything we put on Facebook, I tell Brent to send it to post it.
I want to say, and we do have, and I'll check 2-3 times a show to see what some of our viewers on
Facebook,
Today's Issues Facebook, are saying. If they have a question, if I can catch it in time, we'll try to answer it. I just got to be honest with you. I'm growing tired of Facebook. I'm being serious. I'm not even talking about all the political stuff they've done. I'm just talking about the number of notifications I get and things that come across. I'll check it once a day, and it's just overwhelming. And you know, a lot of the folks who are my quote unquote friends, I've never seen before. You know, I say yes because they listen to our radio, and I just want to connect. Yeah. But it's just overwhelming. I hope our listeners understand what I mean by that. There's so much that you have to keep up with if you want to stay up on your Facebook page.
You ought to have had a public email for 25 years.
Same thing, right?
That's the only email I got.
Yeah.
Is my public email. So I get 100, probably on average 150 emails a day. Most of them are about hearing aids and.
How do they know?
Vitamins.
How do they know that you're getting old?
Like that. I don't know. Steve Jordahl, good morning, Brother Steve.
Good morning. How you all doing?
Good, Steve. Thanks for asking.
I'm being polite. I really do care, though.
Yeah,
you care.
But I've already been with y'all this morning, so I kind of know everything's
right.
You know, nothing's gone off the rails.
You know, Steve, to have grown up in California, lived in Colorado, you're tossing that y'all around pretty good bit.
Yeah,
for some strange reason, I had that in my vocabulary before I even moved to Colorado.
Well, from Madagascar.
Maybe that's way in the deep south, like Southern Hemisphere. So, yeah.
I think y'all has made it way across the country now.
I think so. It's easier than you guys or you all or, you know. I'm just lazy. Maybe that's the thing.
Contribution to the English
language. When I was growing up, it was use guys. Hey, use guys. These guys want to go to the movies.
Well, that's a good blend, too, but y'all just simplifies it.
I much prefer y'all with one syllable. Huh? I much prefer y'all.
You got one syllable right there. You're not wasting breath.
Hey, you guys want to go to a movie? Well, we can take my car. It's wicked awesome.
That was life in New Hampshire
right there? Yeah, New England.
Growing up in New Hampshire. Go watch the Boston Red Sox.
Watch the Sox.
Sox play. All right. Before we get to Steve's list of news items we want to cover, I had a constitutional question or a legal question. Who better to ask than Abraham Hamilton III, our lone lawyer on staff here? How you doing?
I'm doing well. Good morning, y'all.
What's with the hat now?
You've been wearing that hat all day. Man.
So
I got a hat just like that.
What kind of hat is that? What do you call that?
I don't know.
It's a golf hat. It's a paper boy hat. There's different names for them. You asking me or Abe?
Abe's wearing it, so I didn't know if there's a special name for it.
Yeah, I didn't have the lexicon for my headgear this morning.
Hey, it's a cool hat. I got one just like it.
Yes.
Almost identical. Got to try it sometime.
Philip on our Facebook page says, for sure, cool dude.
Yeah. It's so. It's a
thank
paper,
you, Philip.
Paper.
He did have LOL.
Right.
I'm not sure if it, that means
we have
no.
A limited,
thank you, Philip.
Yeah, we have a limited time.
Yes, I'm sorry
for this segment here.
Y'all go right ahead.
And, you started talking about trivial stuff, you know, mm-hmm. Which I rarely do here on this program. All right, so Abe.
Yes.
I had one question, two parts. I mentioned before the break. First of all, the president, this is a statement, not a question. The president's legal team has not won in court yet on any substantial matters, and they need to soon. That's just, that's commentary.
Concerning the election.
That we all think and we all agree. Now, the question is, I've said that there are two possibilities where he could score wins that would change things. Pennsylvania, Georgia. There are two very important federal constitutional issues at hand. Would you please enumerate them?
Yes, and your question raises an issue that I felt like has kind of been detrimental to the Trump campaign's litigation efforts because so much conversation has been placed concerning the voting machines and these types of things. However,
Sidney Powell is going to handle that part of it, I think, if
she
can. Yeah.
Yes. And so I think there should be more emphasis placed on the constitutional election concerns, specifically concerning the federal elections. The U.S. Constitution explicitly states that federal elections, as distinct from state and local elections, are governed by the state legislatures. That is in the Elections Clause of the U.S. Constitution. Well, in Pennsylvania, it has been much discussed at this point. Just to get right to the chase, the state legislature in Pennsylvania passed a law that allowed for mail-in ballots. However, in passing that law, they refused to extend the deadline for the receipt of those ballots beyond 8 p.m. on November 3rd. However, the state Supreme Court of Pennsylvania extended that deadline. A route of legal challenge in the state of Pennsylvania is broad brush black letter law, simply stating that the Supreme Court of the state of Pennsylvania exceeded its constitutional authority by usurping the boundary set in place by the state legislature in changing the effective election date. That's a black letter, straight up and down, takes a couple minutes to review. This is what the Constitution says. The Pennsylvania Supreme Court did not comply with it. Similarly, in the state of Georgia, the same elections clause that governs federal elections in the state of Pennsylvania governs federal elections in the state of Georgia. In the state of Georgia, the Secretary of State Raffensperger entered a private consent decree, basically, with Stacey Abrams following the gubernatorial race in Georgia in 2018, in that consent decree, he agreed unilaterally to change the rules in the state of Georgia concerning mail-in ballots for that state. Again, that exceeds its constitutional functions because the state legislature and the state legislature alone has the authority to set the rules for the federal elections in that state. Considering that those two states include violations of the Elections Clause, those are direct constitutional routes of challenge that should be asserted separate and distinct from any concerns that could be raised about voting machines.
Now, I would say this, that for the president to have a path to victory, because I went to this 270towin.com, it's an interactive electoral map. If those two states do not count in the Electoral College, somehow, let's say, the whole thing gets thrown out, he still has 270 electoral votes, Joe Biden. The president has to flip both of those. If he flipped both of those, he still would not win. So for the president, in terms of a path to victory, he would have to not only flip those two states, he'd have to flip a third. Because he'd it'd be 270 to 268.
Okay. Flipping means giving one Electoral College votes to another person.
Yeah, instead of Joe Biden getting those two states.
What if you take them off the table?
It doesn't matter because at that point, Joe Biden has 270 still.
Okay.
So he so the president has to do this.
So even if you toss out
Pennsylvania, because
that prevents President Trump would still have to have something else happen.
Yes, and it's a long shot. Unless there's a smoking gun produced, in my opinion, that invalidates Pennsylvania, Georgia, Michigan, Wisconsin, Arizona, that kind of thing, where you've got that kind of level of evidence, where then the whole election is thrown into doubt.
Steve,
and goes to the House of Representatives.
In here.
What Ed's talking about is the hope rests not on flipping individual states, but on the voting system, the machines, the software that we use, and that's under attack by the Republicans. They are questioning it, and they've got significant data points to back them up, to say things were not on the up and up in any state that used the Dominion voting machines or the Smartmatic software. Things happen that just defy logic or defy the statistical odds. So, you know, I suppose if the Supreme Court were to be convinced that something was amiss there, that's the wild card for me.
I tell you what, between the four of us here, we've all done our share of reading on this topic, what happened on election night. I'll just open the floor up. Has anybody got any of this circumstantial evidence, anecdotal evidence that you want to mention that would lead one to believe there was fraud on that vote?
I say we let the attorney answer this first.
Well, maybe you don't have anything to Steve.
I brought in a couple stories.
Go.
And
then be thinking about that, Abe.
There was a couple studies. One looks like actually, and maybe it's just put in the form of a peer-reviewed study, but it's got an executive summary, and it's got a whole bunch of data along with it. It's vote pattern analysis, and the title of the study is Anomalies in Vote Count and Their Effect on the Election of 2020. And what their analysis finds that a few key vote updates, this is when they're counting votes and the votes jump by 40,000 or 50,000 votes with no apparent reason, finds that in competitive states, there were unusually large size jumps and had unusually high Biden to Trump ratios. They can demonstrate the results differ from expected results, and the study says it should be a cause for concern. And they cite four specific updates. An update in Michigan that as of 6:31 p.m. or a.m. on November 4th, the update had 141,000 votes for Biden and 6,000 for Trump. An update in Wisconsin in which Biden gained 143,000 votes and Trump gained 25,000 votes. An update in Georgia where Biden gained 136,000 votes, Trump gained 29,000 votes, and an update in Michigan which Biden gained 54,000 votes and Trump gained 4,500 votes. So those are anomalies that just defy statistics. The districts they were coming from and the fact that those came in just out of the blue, the ballot dumps, for example, is what those are being called. They shouldn't be that one-sided for one candidate.
Yeah, but anomalies don't prove anything. Right. They lead one to question.
Abe, I use this analogy in our story meeting this morning. You weren't there, but let me get your thought on this. Because, yes, anomalies don't prove anything. But if I flip a coin and it lands on heads 10 times in a row, you say, that's unlikely. If I flip a coin and it lands on heads 150 times in a row, the fix is in. You have to say that. At what point does a court look at something like this and say, the circumstantial evidence is so overwhelming we have to step in?
Yeah, and I think it's important to remember that the burden of proof in civil proceedings is preponderance of the evidence. So it means more likely than not, as opposed to having the clear and convincing evidential standard or the criminal standard beyond a reasonable doubt. So preponderance of the evidence is a lower threshold to be presented, and so that type of circumstantial evidence would have more weight in a civil proceeding than it would have in a criminal proceeding. And I also think it's worth mentioning that usually, and this is one of several statistical anomalies, historically, not just in recent years, but over decades, when you had much fewer in terms of quantity of votes sent in via mail, the rejection rate on votes in by mail usually is somewhere between 3-4% of the vote. Where we have this year in several states, many of them having large populations with the quantities of votes sent in by mail just exponentially increased over previous times, where you have less than 1% of the votes mailed in that are rejected.
A lot less, 0.03%.
Yeah, and that I mean, how do you describe that other than what an early Christmas miracle?
Right.
Where usually it's 3-4% that are rejected. Now you have 0.3% that are rejected in terms of mail-in ballots. Either something is off or magically the American people have perfected the art of sending in votes by mail.
Well, I'm gonna say this, and I probably won't say anything else about this publicly going forward. But here's my opinion. It is just my opinion, okay? For the reasons that Steve and Abe have laid out, and Tim has mentioned, the stuff that I've read, I no longer think our federal elections are secure. This is a much broader problem, mm-hmm. And it started, ironically enough, with the left after the 2016 election, when they were convinced and probably still are convinced that the Russians interfered in the election. Okay,
Russians in 2020?
No Russians
in favor of Donald Trump.
And now we have kind of the opposite here. And my point is that until the majority of people in this country know and believe that our elections are secure, and not subject to tampering, not subject to being hooked up to the internet and having somebody in Germany, I'm just throwing out one of the conspiracy theories, until we're all sure that can't happen, even if we go back to paper ballots, our republic is going to be permanently damaged. And to me, that is even more of a threat than what may or may not have happened in 2020. I suspect there was widespread tampering with this election. I think there were all kinds of groups, including in the federal government. I believe there are a lot of members of the intelligence community that wanted Trump gone. There were a lot of people with motives. I cannot for the life of me understand why the left was so insistent on degrading our ability to double check mail-in ballots. All those kind of things, I think there is motive there to have tampered with the election. I just think the even greater threat is that we're going to reach a point where people don't trust the results.
I mean, to your point, there were lawsuits filed by Democratic outfits, for example, in North Carolina, where the law there required any vote sent in by mail to include the signature of the person voting and another person who witnessed them vote. And there was a lawsuit filed literally to say, oh, you can't do that. You're suppressing the vote. Like, I mean, what's the motive for that? If somebody has a vote by mail, simply having a person attest as a witness saying, hey, I watched them vote. They signed it. This is the person who voted.
Yes. I agree with you guys. And I think this is far more important than just this particular presidential election.
Right.
Although, President Trump feels strongly he was cheated. And his team is trying to prove it.
Right.
In court, whether they'll prevail or not, I don't know. But even if he doesn't, Sidney Powell needs to continue with her campaign. God bless her.
Right.
And what she's doing, because I think what she's doing can at least put the fear of God, so to speak, in people going forward who would try to cheat on a mass scale, especially in a presidential election, right, that they will be found out. And maybe we'll put four security measures in place.
There are people on the left, as you guys all know, I don't know how many will actually do this, who are encouraging people to move to Georgia for the express purpose of voting in this runoff election.
Yeah.
So you sit there and you go, come on, don't
They're
tell
corrupt.
Me.
They're corrupt.
Right.
The left wing, not everybody who's left, but the left wing mission is corrupt.
Yes.
And the reason it is they don't believe in God.
Yeah. Ultimately, that's
they
right.
They boo God at their convention. They mock people who believe in God and the Bible. If you don't believe in God and the Bible, then you don't believe lying, cheating, and stealing is wrong if it serves your purpose. That's not to say every Republican is a God-fearing person. Right. There are corrupt Republicans, too. Why? Because we're talking about human beings here.
Right.
All right? But I'm saying, overall, the left, they mock and deride people who believe in God and the Bible. We're deplorables. We're rednecks. We're hicks. We're uneducated. We don't believe in science. Therefore, it's up to them to save the country from people like us. So if it means they have to lie, cheat, steal, and deceive to have their ideology win out in the end, well, it's worth it.
Right.
Because they say they saved us from the hillbillies. Y'all get where I'm going?
And the Nazis.
So yes, and so if you don't fear God for punishing you for lying, there is no God to answer to. Why wouldn't you?
Right.
Why wouldn't you if it served your purpose in the end? Because there's no consequence for it. Now, let me point out, I know I've really spiritualized a political question, but I hope I'm making sense there with what I'm talking about. Once, if you want to know who agrees with me, read George Washington's farewell address.
Right.
Okay? And he talks about this. He talks about George Washington in his farewell address. A part of it is saying that religion and morality are pillars of our constitutional republic, and if we lose them, we'll lose our country. Religion and morality. You lose those, you lose the country. And we're on our way. We're praying for revival, and we're doing what we can here, but we're on our way to losing our country if we continue down this pathway. Now, I want people to go, if you just want to read one easy-to-read synopsis of all the anomalies, this needs to get widespread attention, and Newt Gingrich pointed this out yesterday in one of his tweets. Go to our website, our Facebook page, and scroll down. Maybe you can put this back up at the top, Brent. It's an article in The Spectator. It's called Reasons Why the 2020 Presidential Election is Deeply Puzzling. Every American needs to read this. It's called, the title of it is from thespectator.us. And it's on our Facebook page, Today's Issues, Reasons Why the 2020 Presidential Election is Deeply Puzzling. And this guy basically plays the part of, he's not playing a part, he's saying, he says, to say out loud that you find the results of the 2020 presidential election odd is to invite derision. You must be a crank or a conspiracy theorist. Mark me down as a crank, then. I'm a pollster, and I find this election to be deeply puzzling. And then he goes into all the reasons why it is. And let me just point out one aspect, Steve, get you to comment on this. That under, if the mainstream media in this country were fair, they would, these anomalies, these crazy things that happened on November 3rd, whether or not they're to be able to prove it as illegal in the court of law by the time. Are we out of time?
We are. Close to it.
I'll just say our media is deeply broken, and Ed, I have as grave a concern about our country without a functioning media as you do with our elections.
Right. The mainstream point. Traditional media and the social media, they're all in. They're all in for progressive politics in this country. And so basically, patriotic Americans are at war with these folks.
Yeah.
And they have their levers on a lot of powerful institutions. They have their hands on the levers of a lot of powerful institutions. I wish I could finish my thought, but I'm out of time. I'll do it tomorrow. So we'll see you back here then, folks. Have a great day.